We're looking at Pachad Yitzchak for Pesach, Maimer Mem Zayin, and we're going to begin with the Gemara at the end of Pesachim on Kuftes Zayin, that the requirement of Igadat Lebincha has to be Derech She'ela Utshuva. And the Gemara establishes that Mishein Lo Ben, if he doesn't have a son to ask him questions, Hu Shoel Es Atzmo. Now, let's go back to the Mishnah in Avos. In Perek Hei Mishnah Aleph, Ba'asara Mamoros Nivra Ha'olam. And the Gemara, although not explicitly, but implicitly implies a parallel, the Asara Mamoros parallel, the Aseres Hadibros that were given at Har Sinai. What we're talking about now is Amira and Dibur. And both are synonymous terms, exchangeable. In the case of creation, Amamoros, Amira. In the case of the Aseres HaDibros, Dibra. But on a deeper level, perhaps there is a fundamental difference between Amira and Dibur. And it's not coincidental that Amira is related to the creation of the world and Dibur to Matan Torah, to the Aseres HaDibros. Let's try to understand this distinction. We'll begin with Yitzias Mitzrayim. And we've already discussed that Yitzias Mitzrayim is the beginning of a transition in the very nature of Chesed, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed. Before Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Chesed was purely Chesed Vitur, and the generations did not deserve the Chesed from Hashem. From Yitzias Mitzrayim and onwards, there's a different type of Chesed that's revealed to the world. That's an approach of Chesed of Mishpat, which begins with the fact that Klal Yisrael become Avdei Hashem. The ultimate culmination of this transition, in other words, at what point in time does Chesed of Mishpat replace Chesed of Vitur? That's only going to be at the time of Matan Torah, when the Avdus of Hashem is fleshed out. It has a content, a specific substance to it. God's mandate and His will is clear. So there are 26 generations up until Matan Torah, as the Gemara points out in Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Ches. And those 26 generations represent the 26 ladders of Kili Olam Chasdo until Tilim Kuf Lamed Vav, the Chesed of Vitur. They don't deserve the sustenance that they receive from on high. And therefore Kili Olam Chasdo, it's pure Chesed. It's only with Matan Torah, with the Aseres HaDibros, that we have Chesed Shel Mishpat. We have the possibility of serving Hashem and deserving the Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for the purpose of Torah and the receiving of Torah on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So that's what happened from Maimon Har Sinai, and now the purpose of the world is justified and continues. So the Chasodim that came before Matan Torah, the Chesed of Vitur, Ein hi koleles bekirba es hamamatz lifol ala makabel shiaroi v'hagon likras hashpos hachasodim. Within the context and the development of Chesed of Vitur, there's no inclusion of the work or the efforts that would justify the recipients receiving of this hashpah, of this influence of Chesed. The recipient simply is there to receive Chesed. And there's no real value, there's no evaluation of the recipient. How good he is, how bad he is, where is he holding, what is he work, what is his avoda, what is his contribution, none of that. It's purely Vitur. Without any calculation or reflection of the status of the makabel, of the recipient. But now, after the emergence of Chesed of Mishpat, we have now And this is really the essence of and the goal of Chesed Shel Mishpat, is the development of the evaluation of the recipient. Who is he? Does he merit this Chesed? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has treasures of gifts to bestow, but it's not going to be bestowed until there's an effort made on behalf of the recipient. He himself has to do what we call ishtadlus. He has to change and upgrade his status, and he has to deserve these chasodim, that God bestows upon him. So now, the fundamental difference between the amira of Briyas HaOlam and the Dibur with regard to Matan Torah can be understood. Dibur, the Gemara establishes in Masechta Makis on Daf Yud Aleph, is Lashon Kasha. Amira, the Mechilta says in Shmos Yutes, is Lashon Raka, is the soft language. With regard to the Asar Ma'amaros, there's a kind of approach of Lashon Raka. With regard to post Matan Torah and thereafter, we're talking about Dibur B'Lashon Kasha. Amira means we don't have to raise our voices, we don't have to speak with very sharp languages and very harsh languages. And basically it's pure Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to open up the floodgates and bestow Chesed. The Dibur, on the other hand, which really means, let's see, where are you holding? Is the recipient working hard? Does he deserve that Chesed? That's already a different kind of Chesed. That, and let's add another point to embellish Dibur, what Dibur is all about. The purpose of Dibur is Hanhagas Hazuas. It means to, in a sense, control or discipline the other. And the entire goal here is to impact and imprint on the recipient. That's called koshi. Koshi means not physical or, you know, something that you could sense with your fingers. That difficulty or that sturdiness, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is that the word daber means manhig, lahanhig. For example, in Tehillim it says, yidaber amin tachtenu. We have dominion over the nations. That's yidaber. Rachus means we're not trying to control anybody. We're not trying to discipline them or guide them or impact on them. But Dibur means we're going to have an impact. So when we talk about the Chasodim and Maisa Brachos up until Matan Torah, the Chesed Vitur, there's no effort on behalf of the Ribono Shel Olam to guide the recipient. It's pure Chesed. And that's expressed in Amira. In contrast, however, when it comes to Matan Torah, we're talking about Dibur, we're talking about Aseres HaDibros, because from Matan Torah on, the Chasodim that are coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu are meant to guide the recipient, to have an impact on him. And the main purpose is to Lahadrich HaMakabel, to guide him so that he becomes suitable, he becomes fitting for receiving the Chasodim in Din and in Mishpat. And if we take this a little bit further, we could say that the Asar Ma'amar Shenivra Ben Olam and the Asaras HaDibros Shenitna Al Yodim Torah have a certain parallel to the Eser Makos Sheyotzu Avoseinu Mitzrayim. Because Chachamim tell us that the Eser Makos come under a different category. As the Maral explains in the Sefer Tiferes, the Eser Makos are meant to, in a sense, change nature. And in this transition from the Asar Ma'amaros Shel Briyas HaOlam to the Aseres HaDibros Shenitna Ben Bematan Torah, the Eser Makos have a certain role to play. And although the words of the Maharal Prague seem to indicate a mystical concept which perhaps is beyond our comprehension, but we'll try to explain his concepts as well as we can, the best we can. And that is that when it says in Parshas Vayera, at the moment of this transition between the different types of chasodim, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing or identifying himself under the name Shakai. That name signifies the beginning of the process of transition from one chesed to the other at the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Again, it's not going to come to its fruition, to its culmination, until Har Sinai, when the Avodim know what they're getting into, so to speak. But the process is kicked off with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Already, at the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have a chesed of Mishpat. Chesed is not given just with an open end to everybody. And that is what the Eser Makos is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in Va'era as Shakai, Sha'omar Liolomo, die. In other words, die enough, there are going to be breaks to this chesed that's ongoing. And that's the first element in the transition between Hashpah A and Hashpah B. Hashpah A, which means even for someone who's not Roy, he doesn't deserve that chesed. Whereas Hashpah B means someone who, as a Makabel, has a certain, shall we say, a certain partsuf, a certain personality, a certain level of spirituality. He has within his power the zchus to deserve these chasodim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bestowing on Bedin u'bemishpat, the Aseres HaMakos. That is really the kickoff, if you will, the first stage of this transition, because with the Aseres HaMakos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not everyone is going to receive good. Let's see if you could deserve it, you could merit it. And the explanation for the Divrei Chachamim, who say that the Derech min Aseres HaDibros el Shel Maisa, Asor Mamara Shel Maisa Breishis to Aseres HaDibros Matan Torah, passes through the Aseres HaMakos of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And why is that? Because Yetzias Mitzrayim is going to represent that middle point in the transition between the Aser Mamaros Shemen Nivru Olam, which is Chesed Shel Vitur, and the Aseres HaDibros, which is Chesed Shel Mishpat. The Makos that are brought upon Mitzrayim, that's already the first dimension of this transition. And what's very exciting about this explanation is perhaps we can begin to shed a new light on this concept of She'elo Tshuva that Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim requires question and answer. Why is it so? Well, Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim requires a double partsuf, two partsufim, if you will, two personality types, two characters. There's one, a partsuf of a Shoel, and there's another partsuf of a Meshiv, of someone who answers the questions. And we think about the inner process of what Geulas Mitzrayim is all about. He calls it the Mahalech HaPnimi Shel Geulas Mitzrayim. And what we said is that that represents the transition from Amira to Dibur. That, in a certain sense, is very much what She'ila and Tshuva is all about. We're talking about the expression, the concrete expression of Gilui. Something that's concealed becomes revealed. And how does that happen? He says, the Ofen Abitu Shel Gilui Hu B'Derech Hadrocha. When Hashem is revealing Himself, He's guiding us. He's teaching us. There's a process of education, as we said before, within the context of Chesed Shel Mishpat. The recipient is being guided. He's being taught. And therefore, when we speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim, about Geulas Mitzrayim, there should be a process of Hadrocha, of teaching, of Igadat Olubincha, of Derech She'elu Tshuva. The Asara Mamoros were not meant to have any impact on the Makabel. The Aseres HaDibros need a Makabel that's going to be impacted. Geulas Mitzrayim, which is the beginning of the partsuf of a makabel means that the makabel is now just not no one, he's not faceless, he has to be roy to be makabel. That's what Dibur, we said, is all about. Daber amim tachtenu, Sipur HaGodes Yitzis Mitzrayim comes with these two partsufim, the shoel and the meshiv. In that process of education, the shoel is asking for the possibility of giving, and that comes about through the meshiv. The meshiv now comes to impact upon the shoel and to guide the shoel. The Sipur Agada requires that we do a heker, we do a shinui, in order to stimulate the curiosity of the child. That's really what Chesed of Mishpat is all about. As opposed to Chesed of Vitur, we're asking the child to make an effort. He can't just sit back idly. He's got to see the shinui, and he's got to ask a question. He's got to prepare himself for an answer. He's got to be machshir himself to be a makabel. And that's what the process of Gulas Mitzrayim is all about. In the transition to Chesed of Mishpat, all of a sudden the makabel stands out. He emerges with a character, with a face, with a personality of his own. He's going to have to strive and work hard in order to deserve the benefits that he receives. And we find three different phrases here in the language of Chazal. We're talking about Maimer, Amira, in the case of Maisa Brachis, Dibur, in the case of Matan Torah, and with regard to Gulas Mitzrayim, we have Sipur, or Haggadah. First, we start with Maimer, we end with Dibur, and the halfway mark is Sipur Haggadah. And the halfway mark is usually exactly what it means. It's a transition between the beginning and the end. And that's what it means here on Lel Tesvav B'Nisan. The Amir is B'Loshin Raka, the Dibur is B'Loshin Kasha, and the Sipur HaGodah is somehow an integration of both Dibur, of both Amira and Dibur. Sipur, the word Sipur, is on the one hand Loshin Raka, the word HaGodah on the other hand is Loshin Kasha. Sipur means, you know, tell a story. Haggadah requires Kasha Kigidin. And just like the story, the actual events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in which we have a transition of development from the Asar Mamros, the Asar Dibros, through the Eser Makos, so too, in terms of the development of the concepts, or shall we say the terminology, we have a parallel development from Amira to Dibur through Sipur and Haggadah. Kol Amarbe B'Sipur Haggadah. Anyone who's able to expand his Sipur Haggadah to really connect from Briyas Olam to Matan Torah, meaning to really create a makabel who's worthy to receive the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that transition, that ribui l'sapir is hareza meshuvah. We'd like to begin Maimar Mem Ches with a medrash in Shmos Rabbah. And we'll have to figure out what the medrash means. Yisrael u Mitzri ha-yishosim b'sefel echad. Sefel echad, we're talking about Makas Dam, the first of the Eser Makos. A Jew and a Mitzri are drinking out of the same cup. The Mitzri is drinking dam, and the Israelite is drinking water. And this is brought by Chazal to really demonstrate the power of the Nes to control nature. Because when we talk about Nes and talk about Teva, sometimes there's a little bit of an overlap between the two. When the water is converted into blood, that's miracle. But the fact that they are in the same sefel with dam and mayim simultaneously, that's already a nes betoch nes. That's already a second miracle. That how can you have this admixture of dam and mayim, and the Mitzri is drinking up dam and the Israeli is drinking up mayim? You'll take a look in the Gvuros of the Maral Prague, and he already points this out. There's some sort of special emphasis here within the context of Dam and the principle we call Nes B'toch Nes that reflects perhaps on all of Geulas Mitzrayim. How do we establish such a relationship between Makas Dam and Yetzias Mitzrayim in general? We're going to look at a sugya in the fourth perek of Sanhedrin on Daf Lamentes Amid Beis. The Gemara says the following: Rabbi Lazar Rami, Rabbi Lazar had a question. Two psukim, one in Tehillim, one in Eicha, that contradict each other. Ksiv in Tehillim, it says Tov Hashem Lakol. This we say in Ashrei in Tehillim David. Uksiv Tov Hashem Lekovav. That's a pasuk in Eicha Per Gimel. That seems to assume that there's a very limited Tov. Not Lakol, but Lakovav, those who rely on him, those who look forward to him. And the Gemara offers a mashal. Mashal, Yodim Sheyesh Lo Pardes. A man owns an orchard, and he has to irrigate the orchard. He says, Eino Monea Mayim Lelech Letovim Uleroyim. When the water comes through the pipes, it doesn't have an address necessarily. The water keeps coming. Lefisha eino ela toreach echad. Kshu oder tehu toreach lechol echad vi echad eino oder ela litovim. What does this mean? When the water comes, it's not going to distinguish between one recipient and the other. And that's why it says Tov Hashem Lakol, indiscriminate giving, even for someone who doesn't deserve it. He's not a Tov. However, when we come to the case of Oder, when we talk about a work, you know, an agricultural work that's being done, hoeing the ground in order to prepare it, then it's done individually, and if it's done on through a tov, then that's what's going to happen. It's going to benefit the tov, not anyone else. What are we trying to derive from this Gemara and this mashal of Rabbi Lazar and Sanhedrin? There are two types of tovaso shel makom. One is hashka, like irrigated water, and in such a case, ba tova. Anyone who's around will receive and benefit from this gift, from this giving, from this irrigation, the waters. However, there's a different type of tova shel makom, and that's the bechin of idur. Idur means the tova only comes to the person who anticipates that benefit. He's doing what he has to do to prepare the land, and therefore he's a mitzapel in osen tova. He anticipates from the giver that he should be receiving from the giver good. And where are the roots of these two approaches to tovaso shel makom, to the goodness that God bestows upon the world? And the answer is, this distinction, two categories of tova, is rooted in the difference between chesed of one type and chesed of another type, as we've discussed in the past. There are two types of chesed. There's the chesed of Kili Olam Chasdo, which are the 26 generations before Matan Torah. And we say Kili Olam Chasdo in Hallel 26 times. And that parallels the 26 generations since, from Bria up until Matan Torah. The Gemara says, "Imsachim Hakadosh Baruch Hu zanosam bechazdo, God bestows upon them pure chesed to keep them going those 26 years." On the other hand, we have something that's from Matan Torah on. Are we saying that from Matan Torah on there's no chesed chas v'sholem? Or are we saying that the chesed of Hakadosh Baruch Hu has been cut down, has been whittled? No. That's not what we're saying. You can't say that before Matan Torah, the Chesed was the source of sustenance, and after Matan Torah, God closed the Berez, and He either completely gave up on Chesed or limited the Chesed, Chalila, to say such a thing. But rather, the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one type up until Matan Torah, and a different type after Matan Torah, as we've discussed. The first category or quality of Chesed up until Matan Torah we called Chesed Vitur, and that's really the Anhaga of Tov Hashem Lakol that we saw in Tehillim. On the other hand, the Chesed of Mishpat post Matan Torah is the Anhaga of the Pasuk in Eicha, Tov Hashem Lakovav. And the reason for that is that Chesed of Vitur is the emphasis is on the Nosein. We don't care about the Makabel, whether he exists or he doesn't exist, whether he's worthy or merits or doesn't merit. That's all irrelevant. However, and that's the case of the irrigation that we said, where the waters will come to wherever they go. If they end up by the Tov, that's fine. The Rosh, the Tov, the whole 9 yards. So that's the undiscerning chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu up until Matan Torah. No distinctions between this Makabel, that Makabel. Is he worthy? Is he not worthy? So the world now is full of Tov. Okay? The Baal Pardes, as we said, is Mashke, his Pardes. He brings irrigated water. And that's called Tov Hashem Lakol. Now we get to Chesed Shel Mishpat from Kabbal Sator and onward. Here the emphasis is not on the Nosein, but on the Makabel. The Nesina is only going to be given to benefit or to reward the Makabel if he is worthy for that. And therefore this new Hanhaga is called Idur in the Mashal. Idur means a special tircha for each individual. And now the question is the Makabel Roy, is he worthy of receiving whatever goodness is coming? So there's going to be an Asina individually and independently. It's not going to be some sort of general, you know, ad hoc or endless Nesina. And this Hanhaga is the Tovasa Shel Makom that only reaches those who are Zoche. And that's the Mashal of the Oder. And that's what's going to be from the time of Matan Torah and on. And as we discussed, the transition between this kind of chesed and that kind of chesed, the two categorically different chasadim, is going to be Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Makos of Mitzrayim represent the closing off, or the beginning of the process of closing off the chesed shel vitur. It's no longer, you know, all the chasadim are just going and we don't care about the makabel, it's just flowing. No, that's not it anymore. They're going to be makos. And the makos really begin, as we said before, the process is going to culminate at Maivan Har Sinai when it's totally chesed shel mishpat. And now we can go back to our original discussion where the Maral in Sefer Gvuros discusses the Nes B'toch Nes. In order to get a grasp and insight on this, we're going to start with the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin asks the question on Daf Lamed Zayin, why was man created single, one man, Lama Nivra Adam Yechidi? And the answer is that he, Adam HaRishon, is able to say and declare, Bishvili Nivra Olam. That's what Adam HaRishon represents. That's his special status. And we, like Adam HaRishon, have a right to say and a responsibility to say, Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. Meaning, I have an awesome responsibility that I have to live up to. And, you know, one might think that in the world at large, there's so many millions and billions of people that are all receiving chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't feel, we're not aware of that special, unique sense of Bishvili Nivra Olam, that in this Mahalach of bestowing goodness upon a person, there's a very unique individual goodness that's bestowed upon me as an individual. There's a massive amount of Makabli Chesed The eyes of every single Makabel, of every recipient of God's goodness, are really closed. The man is blinded here to the fact that despite the multitudes of people who are Makabel and receiving from Hashem, nevertheless, each Makabel unto himself is a goal. It's an objective of God's creation. And therefore, what this means when we talk about Yechiduso, the special singular nature of Adam HaRishon, is that man was created as one individual, not more than one, to reveal to us that Bishvil Kol Echad Ve'Echad Nivra Olam. And this is going to be the place for the Chiddush, the great significant superior kind of miracle. Now imagine that there's a control, there's a power of Nes, there's a power of Teva, of nature, and they work in tandem as partners. That's going to create something very, very powerful, because that really is a revelation of that special darga that we said, the special status of Adam HaRishon. How so? What's the connection between Nes and Teva working in tandem and revealing the special significance of individual man? Meaning, even after there are multitudes upon multitudes of man, of men that that walk this globe, walk the earth, and fill the earth, nevertheless, there's a special relationship to one and to each and every one as an individual. What really clouds our vision and prevents us, inhibits each and every one of us from recognizing that despite the millions and billions of makabalim of people on the earth, nevertheless, it's not unique to me. In other words, what leads to this mistake that's so common amongst all of mankind, that to the same extent that, you know, the sun gives light for me and for my friend, it's not that the sun gives light for me personally as an individual, the light of the sun is there and I can enjoy the benefits of it mimela automatically. And if that's our attitude, if that's our perspective on the hashpah, on the goodness that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then of course the Makabel, the recipient, is not a yachid. He's not singled out. He's one of billions of people. And whatever comes from Shamayim in the natural universe, that's for all of us. I don't play a role as a single, singularly special individual who's receiving God's chesed. Oh, then we get to the phenomenon of Nes and Teva together. That's what we call Nes B'toch Nes. Meaning, at this point, what happens? If the sun is shining miraculously, then that miracle, even though it's benefiting Reuven, there's no automatic benefit for Shimon. We're not, you know, if there's a natural order of the universe in Teva, the sun is blazing in its zenith in the middle of the sky, then for sure I'm going to come to the conclusion that this wonderful, wonderful chesed that's coming from up on high is not directed towards me in a singular way. Everybody's enjoying the Shemesh. But if the Me'iras HaShemesh is a miraculous one, then okay, the sun is miraculously shining for Reuven. Who says that as a result, automatically, I, Shimon, should benefit from that light? It's a miraculous light. And if it's a miraculous light, it's bestowed upon Reuven singularly and not on me. If the Shemesh is Me'ira for Reuven, there's no guarantee that the Shemesh Memela will be Me'ira for Shimon in the same way that it's Me'ira for Reuven. And therefore, when we get to the case of Nes B'toch Teva, right? Nes and Teva coming together and operating in tandem, that's when we begin to realize how important the Makabel is, how singular he is, I guess you'd say, that just like the Shemesh lit for each and every one of us, that doesn't prove anything. We don't have a shutvus, a partnership, with regard to the case of a nes. That's the purpose of the nes. The nes is meant to teach us b'shvili nivra olam. When there's a control of the universe of nes and teva together, working in tandem, both miracle and natural law, what's being revealed here is something about the natural law, about the teva. And that is the special Madrega Vanu Arisha, which means that Hashem is directing His chesed towards Anu Arisha, b'shvili nivra olam. And even if we don't have Adam Arishon anymore, right? We don't have that special Yichiduso Shel Adam Arishon. We have the conceptual idea of Yichiduso Shel Adam Arishon. Meaning, as long as there is this co-partnership of the world of nature together with the miraculous supernatural order of nature, when those two work in tandem, what we understand is that despite the millions and billions of makablim of those who receive divine chesed, nevertheless the special nature of each makabel unto himself is not marred, it's not undermined, it's as significant, as bright as the shining star. Now for that we need Tov Hashem Lekovov. What is the Tov Hashem Lekovav? That's the Bechina that we saw in the Mashal of Idur. That there's a Tova that's directed towards each individual. When there's Hanhog of Tov Hashem Lakol, then it's like the irrigation field. There's no energy put in or directed towards any individual. Wherever the water goes, it flows. That's where the Mikabel has, shall we say, very little, if any, ashpo whatsoever. He's just receiving a derech greira, as we would call it. Not directly, but indirectly. It's the overflow. You know, it's the sun that's shining. He and anyone in the multitude will enjoy the benefit of the sun that's shining. That's called greira. It's a nigra. In other words, he, as an individual, just receives it as part of the klal. And then there's no way of revealing that special madrega, the miuchadus of Adam Arishon. And this will shed a light on Makas Dam. What happens in Makas Dam, which is the first of the Esar Makos? As we said before, the first of the series that's going to move us from Tov Hashem Lakol to Tov Hashem Lekovav, from a chesed shel vitur to the chesed of mishpat. How is this introduction achieved by Makas Dam, to begin to, shall we say, push us or to prepare the road for this transition from one type of chesed to another type of chesed? The answer is, in the language of the Chachamim, that in the Makah of Dam, we see in a very profound way the revelation of the Madrega of Yichudo Shel Adam HaRishon B'Shvili Nivrolam. The Jew and the Mitzri are both drinking from the same receptacle. And yet, the Mitzri is drinking Dam, and the Jew is drinking water. Obviously, Hashem, in this combination here of Teva and Nes, is indicating that the Makabel is Koveh. In other words, well, who is the Makabel? And there is Ashpa here that represents the Yichiduso Shel Adam HaRishon. And that means that we can appreciate that Makas Dam is the first of the Eser Makos. It's going to be a Shibush of Nes and Teva together. On the one hand, they're both drinking from the same kos, but yet, nevertheless, the water is converted to dam for one individual, and for the other individual, it remains water, and it's not dam, and you can drink it, and there's no problem whatsoever. It's mayim, and this is really the bechina, as we said before, of Tov Hashem Lekovav, that now all of a sudden the makabel has to merit his reception. Of goodness from Hashem, the Shef Eloki. It's not just Chesed, unlimited. We now get into the Chesed of Mishpat, and that is based on the fact that whatever's coming down from Shemayim is directed towards each individual in a singular way. That's Yichiduso shel Adam HaRishon. He do so, shel Adam HaRishon, of the individual, the prat of the Yachid, that emerges with Yitzias Mitzrayim when there's a beginning of the transition to Chesed shel Mishpat. Hashem is bestowing goodness upon me as an individual because I am the Mekabel and I'm worthy of it. That's Yechiduso Shal Adam HaRishon. That's what is demonstrated in Makas Dam. That's what Yitzias Mitzrayim is all about. The beginning, the kickoff of the transition of Chesed Shal Mishpat. And now we continue with Maimer Memtes. Maimer Memtes is a longer Maimer, and I don't know if we'll be able to finish it today, but we'll give it a shot. The pasuk says at the very beginning of Shmos, "V'eilu Shmos b'nei Yisrael haboyim Mitzrayim." And "Vayomas Yosef v'chol echav v'chol hadar hahu." Yosef and all his brothers die. That generation is gone, and this is the first time in the Tanakh. This is the first occasion in which the Torah mentions the death of Shvatim. The death of Shvatim with regard to the death of Yosef at the very beginning of Sefer Shmos, the Torah says, is repeating what it said at the end of Sefer Bereishis, and Sefer Bereishis concludes with Vayomas Yosef. Here, at the beginning of Shmos, is Vayomas Yosef v'chol echav v'chol adar ahu. And the question that we want to raise is, with regard to the death of Yosef, why did the Torah have to repeat it a second time? It's already described the death of Yosef back in Bereishis, and now here in Shmos, the Torah repeats the death of Yosef, and the Torah adds that the death of Yosef is, so to speak, presented as an integration together with the Shara Shvatim. That apparently is the Chiddush here. It's not just a repetition of what we saw at the end of Bereishis. It's not just that Yosef as an individual died, but rather it's Yosef together with the Shvatim. That was the Dar that now perished. Let's try to clarify this by reading a few words from the Maharal Prague, and this is from the Sefer Gvuras Hashem Perek Yud Aleph. Yosef Hikdim Lovam Mitzrayim Ibnei Maloso. And that is that the reason why Yosef was the first to come down to Mitzrayim is because of his Milah, his special unique status. And the question that we want to ask is, what does the Maharal mean by that? What is the special status of Yosef that explains why he was the first to come alone to Mitzrayim? And in order to answer this question, we have to relate to a number of different things. First of all, we have to talk about the Milah of Yosef in general, the Milah of Yosef in Golus Mitzrayim in specific, and the connection between Yosef's Milah before he comes down to Mitzrayim and Yosef's Maila in Mitzrayim. HaKesher Be'maloso Shel Yosef Im Kedimas Bol in Mitzrayim. What is the connection between the special level of Yosef and the fact that he's the first to come down to Mitzrayim? And we speak about Maloso Shel Yosef, then we've discussed in another Pachan Yitzchok in a different volume. I mean, for Sukkos in Maimer Yud Beis, we've discussed the following: that even though the halacha is, and this the Gemara formulates, ein avos el shlosha, ein karin avos el shlosha brachos tetzayin amid beis, nevertheless. Just one second, I lost my place here. Yeah, nevertheless, at the point of Yosef, we're already past the transition of the Avos. Because again, Ein currently Avos El Shlosha, which means that Yaakov Avinu closes the Tkufa in world history of the Avos. In other words, now we get down to Yosef, right? Yosef is born already, he's the fourth Madrega. But now the Avos, that Madrega is completely filled, is completely completed. Now we get into a different Madrega, and that is the Madrega of the Shvatim. And the question is, how do we understand this Madrega of Shvatim? How is it different than the Avos, and what is its significant? Its significance. So he says the following, he says, Mikan v'yelech, mit anefet hi dargat ha-shivtiyut madregas ha-avos. I think he means that the level of Shvatim is a branch, and the tree itself is the Avos. Okay, that's a whole different level here. You're talking about branches and the tree itself. However, with regard to Yosef, who's one of the Shvatim, we find a whole different side to Yosef. What makes Yosef unique, and in a certain sense, he's in between the Avos and the Shvatim? Chazal say in the Medrash Rabbah, Al Yado Shal Yosef Kriyim Em Kol Yisrael Boneha Shal Rachel. Interesting. That Klal Yisrael have this new name or status of Boneha Shal Rachel. And who is the catalyst to this whole, to the emergence of this new status? It's Yosef. And in that sense, Yosef has a, let's call it a similarity, to the Darga of Avos. In other words, if Klal Yisrael are called, all of Klal Yisrael, Boneha Shal Rachel, and that's because of Yosef, then we begin to understand that Yosef, some element of similarity to the Avos, meaning through Yosef, we have Bonim, and all of Yisrael are called Bonim, but Bonim of whom? Of Rachel. That means Yosef is obviously the catalyst connecting Kol Yisrael that are future, in the future born to the Avos and to Rachel. So basically, what we have here is a Tzad HaShov, if you will, a certain common ground between Yosef and the Avos. That through Yosef, we have a new name for the Bonim. And that is Bonim Boneha Shel Rachel. That's really more typical or appropriate for an Av to talk about the name that it's given to its child. Here, Chazal seem to be indicating that Yosef crosses the bounds between Shevet and Av. And why is that so? Let's read the Parsha of the birth of Yosef. This is in Bereishis Lamed. Vayehi kasher yolda Rachel es Yosef. Vayomer Yaakov el Lavan shalcheni. And the Chachamim see a connection here between the birth of Yosef and the return of Yaakov. Yaakov is going to return to Eretz Canaan and cut off with his father-in-law, Lavan. Lavan, send me along. Yosef is born. What is the connection here between the birth of Yosef and Yaakov Avinu's cutting off with Lavan, going back to his roots, going back to Eretz Canaan? The answer is, number one, that Yosef is Sitno Shel Esav. Rashi quotes it in Bereishis Lamed, Perek Chafei, it's also in Medrash Rabbah. Sitno Shel Yosef. Yaakov is the antithesis of Esav. And that's what Avadya Novi means when he says, V'oya beis Yaakov Eish, ubeis Yosef Lahava, ubeis Esav Lakash. So Yaakov becomes the Eish, Esav is the Kash, and the Eish burns up the Kash. Right? The Kash meaning the straw. Good. But let's just think about it. If Yaakov is called an Eish, let's take this simile a little bit further. There's no such thing as an Eish without a Lahava. I mean, if it doesn't have some sort of flame that's coming out, and it's got to be a significant flame because If not, then if it's, you know, there's no way that this Eish could have any impact at a distance. So we're talking about an Eish with a Lava. And that emerges with the birth of Yosef. Yaakov Avinu is absolutely reliant upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's ready to go back to Eretz Canaan the very moment that Yosef is born. Perhaps what the Chachamim here, Chazal, are trying to teach us is that in a certain sense, Yosef becomes the completion of Yaakov. If you have a Shalheves, that Shalheves is the clincher of the Eish. The Eish has potential, but you need the Shalheves, the flame. And this Hashlama, this role, the special unique role that Yosef plays to be Mashlim, his father Yaakov, this is what this is what gives birth, so to speak, to the Sitno Shel Esav. Because again, if Yaakov is the antithesis of Esav, then Yosef becomes the antithesis of Esav. Okay, now we know, and we've mentioned it many times, that the relationship between Esav and Yaakov is like one polar extreme to the other. You know, this one goes up, this one goes down. If there are two people battling together, one against the other, then it's Yaakov against Esav. That's for sure. And that's what we mean when we say, in the Medrash we saw it before, that Yosef is Sitno Shel Esav. Now, why Yosef? I mean, if you want to say that Yaakov is Sitno Shel Esav, Nicha, but why Yosef? And the answer has to be because Yosef, in a sense, is the extension of his father Yaakov. He's the Hashlam of Yaakov. He is the flame that comes from the Eish of Yaakov. And in that sense, he is the personification of Sitno Shel Esav, just as Yaakov, his father, was. And we can understand the difference between the Avos and in their special status and the Madriga of Avos in terms of building up Knesset Yisrael. Avram Avinu is the Tchila Legerim. Avram Avinu, that's the Gemara in Chagiga, but he's called Av Hamon Goyim. And he is the beginning of Gerim, and Gerim are, so to speak, standing on his shoulders. That's why the Pasuk describes Avram Avinu as Av Hamon Goyim in Bereishis Yutes. Vinyano Shal Yitzchak Shahaya Rishon Shahaya Kadosh Mirechem. Yitzchak already represents the next generation of Avos, and his special role is because he is Kadosh, he's sanctified from birth. Avram Avinu was not born in sanctity, he became sanctified, he pulled himself up. Why is Yitzchak the first individual on the face of the earth who gets meal at the age of 8 days? The answer is because he's Kadosh Mirechem. Then we get to Yaakov. So if Avram Avinu is Tchila Legerim and Yitzchak Avinu is Tchila LeMila, meaning Yitzchak Avinu is the Kadosh Mirechem, which expresses itself in the mitzvah of Mila, then we get to Yaakov. What is Yaakov? Yaakov is the first one Asher Mitoso Shlema. Mitoso Shlema. So let's just give a couple of the sources here. When we say that Yitzchak is the first to be circumcised at 8 days, that seems to be the opinion of the Medrash Rabbah in Perek Nun Gimel, Number Zion. However, what we have here is something different. We're no longer talking about Avraham Avinu, who has a Yitzchak and an Esav. We're no longer talking about Yitzchak, who has a Yaakov and an Esav. Now we get up to Yaakov. Yaakov is the beginning of a new process, of a glorious Mitoso Shlema process. There's no one coming from Yaakov that has to be excluded. And therefore, Yidach Mimenu Nidach. Right, in Yaakov Avinu, everyone is going to be included in the Shvatim that's based on a pasuk in Shmuel. So although Yitzchak has the special status of being the first to be gemalt at the proper time, 8 days old, Yaakov Avinu in a certain sense supersedes that, because he's telling you that mitaso shlema, he's the first one that all of his children, without exception, will be shvatim. And lo yidach menu nidach, which as we said before, is a pasuk in Shmuel. In other words, there'll never be a time where a mishpacha in Klal Yisrael will be separate and will be cut off from the rest of Klal Yisrael. And the principle is Yisrael, afal pi shechata Yisrael. What we're saying is the following, that Avram Avinu is the first of the Gerim. Yitzchak is the father of Avram Avinu, is the first to become a Ger, to join. Yitzchak is the first to be born into Klal Yisrael. Yaakov is the first who will create a situation which all that follow him are all part of Klal Yisrael. And Yitzchak, even though he's born into the Jewish fold, he doesn't have that unique status. In any event, the Chut HaMeshulash, this threefold Avos, each one has his own Darga. And at that point, when we get past Yaakov Avinu, those Dargos that we mentioned before are complete, and there's no longer a process of adding to it. We have a complete Chut HaMeshulash. However, now we have the case of Yosef, and we're trying to figure out what status Yosef has. With regard to Yaakov Avinu, as we said before, Mitaso Shlema. And when you think about it, Yaakov Avinu is the Bechina of Yisrael, Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael Hu, meaning that everyone coming from Yaakov Avinu is included in Klal Yisrael. What we had in the Avos, where we had Esav, Ball was knocked off. In the case of Yitzhak, we had Esav being knocked off. In the case of Yaakov, everyone is on board, all of his children. And what this means is, Yisrael af pishachot Yisrael, it means that anytime there's a rebellion in the world, that's not going to undermine the shame Yisrael, the Kedushas Yisrael of a person. He could be, who knows what he is, but he still has Kedushas Yisrael. There is a possibility of Hafkas Kedushas Yisrael in one particular case, which is a sugi in Kedushin Samach Vav, of Yisrael Habal Anachus. If a Jew has relations with a non-Jewish woman, the Vlad is non-Jewish like his mother. And from that perspective, there is a Hechatimtza possibility of losing the Shem Yisrael. Okay, now we get to the Madrega of Yosef HaTzadik that we wanted to get back to. Now we have a pirza that's gedura. In other words, Yosef is going to close up a hole and offer us security and protection. What does that mean? You remember in his challenge with Eishes Potifar, it says, Vayonas hachutza, Niklata b'toch chelek kavua b'shiurei komasa shel Knesset Yisrael. This midah of Yosef, Vayonas hachutza, becomes for all eternity an integral part in the personality, the character of Knesset Yisrael. And here we're talking about Shmira Lidoros. On the one hand, Yisrael Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael, and every Jew is guaranteed after Yaakov Avinu through the Shem Yisrael to be a Yisrael. But on the other hand, he can forfeit that by having relations with a non-Jewish woman. And Yosef, insofar as he was enticed by Eishes Potifar, he's at the verge, he's in the facing a challenge of Ibud Yisrael, of destroying the Shem Yisrael. But Vayonas Achutza, and what Vayonas Achutza adds and impacts on the komasa of Knesset Yisrael for all generations is Shmira. Shmira means that God is promising us that there will be a continuous, eternal existence of Kedushas Yisrael, that the intermarriage with a non-Jewish woman, which really means the destruction of the Jewish lineage, that's a pirzah, and that could happen from time to time. We know people who married out of the faith, but there's a shmira. And that shmira, which was engendered by Yosef of Hayonas Achutza, in which he overcame his temptation to have relations with a non-Jewish woman, that shmira is going to be now inculcated into Knesset Yisrael for all generations, so that there will always be a way of protecting the piritza, of closing it up, so to speak, and guaranteeing the hemshech of Klal Yisrael. And in that sense, we understand why Yosef is the hashlama of his father Yaakov, like the Shalheves is the Hashlama of the Eish. A fire will burn right here in its place. It doesn't go far out. But if it has a very big flame, it can shoot out and burn something from at a great distance. Because now it has a new power. And in a sense, base Yaakov is an Eish, as the Pasuk says, but base Yosef is a Lehava. The Eish, as we said, burns right here. And it doesn't have that impact way, far away. He says the following, Lehava sholetis lemerchak dimekomo hainu guf atzmiyuso. Here, locally, that's the guf atzmiyuso. That's the object inherent in and of itself, its own essence. But lemerchak, that represents the zera, the children. So Yaakov is an Eish. He and of himself, insofar as he is an Eish, in and of himself. Yosef, on the other hand, represents Lahava. It means that when man is born with Kedushas Yisrael, it's impossible for that Kedusha to be extinguished. And why is that so? Because Yaakov Avinu is the first to engender this new status where all his children will be Jews. And no one is going to be excluded. That's the base Yaakov Eish. But that's the Eish that's Sorif Bimkomo. The Lahava, which is Sholetis Lemerchok, the flames that can be that control and burn at a distance, that means to take the Eish and expand it. Such that the Lahava now allows this flame, allows the fire to go endlessly. There's no bounds. That's Beis Yosef Lahava. What's the Lahava? The Midah of Yosef, which he inculcates into his children for all eternity, of Shmira, of Ayonas Hachutza. That's the Lahava of Yosef, which takes the Eish of Yaakov and spreads it through all the generations to come. Yaakov Avinu is the third of the Avos, and he completes that set. It's Hachuta Meshulash Lo Yinotek, as the Pasuk says. Oh, I forget where the Pasuk is. Does anybody remember? The Pasuk of Chuta Meshulash Lo Yinotek is in Koheles. Of course, how could I forget? We read it every Sukkis. And now, we understand very well that Yaakov represents that all his children will be Jews. But Yosef wants to expand that. And how does he do so? He wants to protect the possibility of one of, when I say one, I mean as a parent, you know, as an example of many, but of a Jew that somehow wants to cut himself off from his ancestors. And that's what Yaakov wants to protect against. That's going to allow the Lahava to expand and control and protect the Zera of Yaakov Avinu, no matter where they are, and throughout all the generations. Eilat told us, Yaakov, the Pasuk says, Yosef. Or the Pasuk that says, Ben Parat Yosef. That's at the end of Chumash Bereishis. These psukim all indicate that the Kinyan Aguf of Kedushas Yisrael, which is from Yaakov, now, in the next stage, is a Kenyan Peros of Kedushas Yisrael, and that's from Yosef, that's Ben Parat Yosef. And this is what Chachamim mean when they tell us that from the moment that Yosef is born, the Sitno Shel Esav is born, right? The antithesis, the enemy, the opponent of Esav is born. Because in truth, when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, and the Pasuk says, Ulaom Milaom Yamatz, right, that's the bracha that Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov, is Chazal say, Kishazeh Kam Zeh Nofel. And that's Rashi quotes it there in Breishis Chaf Hei. And that means that if Esav rises, if his star rises, then Yaakov is down, down, down. And this is before the birth of Yosef. We only have the Esh of Yaakov, but we don't have the Lahav of Yosef, this Pashas Lemerchak that we don't have. With the birth of Yosef, we have the Lahava, and now there's an absolute, shall we say, guarantee that the Esh of Yaakov will be able to reach far out. And therefore, at the moment of the birth of Yosef, is Nolad Sitno Shel Esav. Esav is going to attack us and tempt us throughout the generations and in all the places on the face of the earth. Our protection is afforded by Yosef. We are the descendants of Yosef. We are all considered B'nai Rachel through Yosef. That's what the Chachamim mean when they say that the Madrega of Yosef is similar to the Madrega of an Av, even though he's together with the Shvatim. So at the end of Chumash Breishis, the Torah records the death of Yosef. That's Yosef as a very unique individual. Here at the beginning of Shmos, he dies together with the Shvatim as one of the Shvatim. Yosef as an individual, if he's isolated from the Shvatim, plays a very important role. He has a special status. His Madrega is just a little bit lower, if you will, for the Madrega of an Av, because he is the completion of Yaakov. He is the base Yaakov Esh Ubeis Yosef Lahava. And if we take this one step further and we begin to appreciate what the Geula of Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim is all about, we understand that as Chazal say in Vayikarabba, Bizchus Shloshinu Hashmam, Lashonim Abusheim, Nigalu Avosenim Mitzrayim, they didn't change their names, their language, or the way they dressed. And we should understand by that that this separates them from the Mitzrim. Just as our avos were separated from Mitzrayim. There's something very similar here that's going on. We're talking about Avdolah min ha'amim, separating the Jewish people from the nations. And at our Sinai, when they entered into the bris of Torah mitzvahs, that's when we reach the fruition of separating us from the nations. And yet, there's already a separation from the nations even before Matan Torah, through the process of Gula Mitzrayim. And that's represented by Shloshinu Eshmam L'shonu Bal Busheim. There's already Avdolah. There's already a process of separation. There's already what we would call a Romimus. The value of Klal Yisrael is on a very high level even before they reach Har Sinai. And there's a person, when a person has that romus hanefesh, he's on a very high level, he must separate himself from his surroundings, from his society. And when a person reaches this state of romus, he's got to separate himself to the point in which he and Klal Yisrael have this havdolah min amim. Something that the Torah later on is gonna warn us about and command us on the, and we have to be misbadil from the other nations. He says, "Yesh Adam Asher Nisalav and Asalum Romam Al Yedeizeshe Hivdil VeHizir Atzmo Misvivosav." In other words, it's not just that once he reaches this Madrega, then he has to separate himself in different ways. But more than that, through the separation, he achieves his Avdolah. So with regard to the Avoseinu, Shevdilu es Atzmam b'Mitzrayim, that Avdolah of our ancestors in Mitzrayim represents the Avdolah that creates a Romus. Let me just read his language. He says, "He Avdolah Yotzeres, Sheshimsha Goreim Bisavus Shalais Romus." Interesting. We're not talking about the Romus first, and then the Hibadlus second. We're talking about the Hibadlus first, and that engenders the Romulus. That's what Golus Mitzrayim is all about. Why is Golus Mitzrayim connected in a very special way to Yosef? As we saw at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, Vayomos Yosef, etc. Because Yosef represents that element of Hisbadlus. And that's the Romulus of Yosef, the Romulus of Hisbadlus. The Shalheves of Yosef is able to control Lahashlidis Esha Shal Yaakov Lemerchok, to in a sense give such extra energy and power to the Esha of Yaakov, which is limited, as we said before, to this location. And why is that so? Because the Shalheves is Yokedes Hibikdushas Havdolah. The essence of this Shalheves of Yosef is the concept of Havdolah. And therefore, Vahoya Beis Yaakov Esh Ubeis Yosef Lehava, the Esh of Beis Yaakov now is passed on to the Lehava of Beis Yosef, and all that is clinched by Vayonas Hachutza, which is the Kedusha of Havdalah. Havdalah means to separate ourselves from the nations. And that's what lights up the Shalheves of Yosef. That's the Nakuda, that's the point which begins and engenders the Shalheves of Yosef. And that's going to control the Esh of Yaakov to the point of which it energizes and is mashlit the Esh of Yaakov, the Merchok, far away. Yosef's Madrega is very close to the Avos, because he creates the Kedusha of the Madrega of the Avos. As we said, the Shalheves that expands the Esh of Yaakov. And Kolzman Shegufa Kedusha who Dehavya Liatzma, what Yosef Avinu represents, he's the paradigm of Liatzma, of a Kedusha Liatzma, of Havdalah being separated. He's the ultimate existence or reality that cannot be smudged away. It's the Aval Pisha Chata Yisrael, who there's no shinui over here, there's no possibility of changing. That's a result of the Gufa Kedusha as it begins to spread out. And that's the Lahava of Yosef. Yaakov Avinu represents the Gufa Kedusha. That's in a local sense, and that's Aval Pisha Chata Yisrael Hu. But what happens when the Gufa Kedusha begins to spread out? It's outside of its own comfortable comfort zone, if you will. Now it needs another type of Kedusha, not the Gufa Kedusha that's inherent, but the Kedushas Havdalah, in which the sanctified individual has to separate himself from his surroundings. Without that, it's going to be very difficult, almost impossible to have his pashtus chutz l'tchum, to go out of the boundaries of the four cubits, because you are vulnerable to lose everything. Even the Gufa Kedusha can be lost, as we said before, in the case of intermarriage. And there's a tremendous pirtzi here, a very dangerous kind of opening. As soon as this is pashtus, as soon as you move out there forward into the wild blue yonder beyond the four cubits. That's where Madrega of Yosef comes to play a role in order to complete the Madrega of the Avos. Only Yosef is called Ben Parat, because his Kedusha is the Kedusha of Dola. His Kedusha allows the Gufa Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu to spread out and to face all the challenges that the Peros, that the fruits, meaning the future generations and the descendants of our ancestor Yaakov, are going to face throughout the many, many generations of Golus. And the Milo of Yosef that makes him very unique is connected to Golus Mitzrayim, because Golus Mitzrayim really represents the expression, or I'm looking for a different word, the manifestation perhaps of Kedushas Havdalah. What do we get in Mitzrayim? What Madrega were we zocha to? It was a Kedushas Havdalah, and that's what we inherited from Yosef. It was our ability of Shaloshinu, Eshmam, Malbushim, Lashonam. That's the Esh that goes to a distance through the Shalheves of Yosef, and that's what it means. Beis Yaakov Eishu Beis Yosef Lahava. If not for the Lahava of Beis Yosef, the Eish of Beis Yaakov would not be able to become the Sitno Shel Esav, because Esav would Chas V'Shalom overpower Yaakov down the line with all the temptations and the challenges and, of course, the subjugation. It's the Mile of Yosef, which is very unique and relates to, reflects itself in Mitzrayim. And now we begin to understand what the Maharal meant to say when he said, Yosef hikdim lovel in Mitzrayim mipnei ma'aloso. Why is it that Yosef is the first to go down to Mitzrayim, and he has a Mila? And the answer is that that's the Madrega of Yosef, which is close to the Madrega of the Avos. That's the Mila of Yosef. And what is that? The Bechina, that dimension of being close to the Avos, is something that fits into the concept, the general rule of Maisa Avos, Sima Labanim, which is a Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Daled, and many, many different statements of Chazal. The Metzias of Yosef and Mitzrayim, as the first one to come down, is the following. He says, Nivchemnesi b'shtei b'chinos, ki b'mchinas ha-yoso echad min ha-shvotim, ha-reyu nivchan, ki echad min ha-banim. V'yachad imam hu poreas ha-chov shel v'avdu, v'avdum v'inu osam. Though Yosef, as one of the brothers, is going to kick off the process of Golus and Inui. However, there's another Bechina to Yosef. He's not just one of the Shvatim. He's not just the beginning of Golus Mitzrayim and Golus of Klal Yisrael. He's also the Bechina of Karov Le'Avos. And in that context, he really serves a major role of Maisa Ova Sima Labanim. Hikdim Yosef Lovim Mitzrayim Bnei Ma'alasa, says the Maral. His Maila is going to serve as a Sima Labanim. Namely, that there's such a thing called Kedushas Havdola. That's going to light the path of our forefathers in Mitzrayim. That's going to be the Simon that is established by Yosef, who comes down to Mitzrayim because of his Maloso. He's able to save and protect Klal Yisrael through his Kedushas Havdola. Not the Kedushas Gufli Atzma, but the Kedushas Havdola of the Lahava Lemerchok, facing all the challenges that could Chas V'Shalom undermine Klal Yisrael. And if this would be the case, we come back to where we started. We have the Torah testifies about the death of Yosef twice, once at the end of Bereishis, and a second time at the beginning of Shmos. With regard to the death of the Shvatim, which we'll see here at the beginning of Shmos, Ein bo chazaras Mishnah. The Torah is not just repeating what we already know, and the beginning of Shmos is not just a duplication of what we had at the end of Bereishis, but as the Ramban says in his introduction to Sefer Shmos, that Bereishis is the book of the Avos, Shmos is the book of the Banim. And if we connect the Ramban's words to what we have described and analyzed here, it becomes a little bit clearer why the Parsha of the death of Yosef is repeated here at the beginning of Shmos. At the end of Bereishis, we're talking about Yosef as part of the Avos, because Yosef has a very unique role here amongst the Shvatim. He is the Hashlama of the Avos, the Hashlama of Yaakov Avinu. That we don't find in the other Shvatim, and therefore Yosef is center stage here at the end of Bereishis. Lo matzinu dugma zevim yisasim shel shar Shvatim. We're not going to find the death of the other Shvatim, that each Shevet's death is individually singled out. The Madrega of Yosef, as we said before, is a Shevet that's carved to an Av. His Metzias and Mitzrayim expresses itself not just in the fact that he's one of the Banim, and he begins the process of the Avdu V'Nuosam, but moreover, He is different than the other Shvatim. He has a unique role and status to play in terms of Maisa Ova Sima Labanim. He's going to introduce into Klal Yisrael the Kedusha of Havdalah. And we understand now why the Misa of Yosef Avinu, I'm sorry to use the word Avinu, but in this case he is Avinu, is recorded in two Svarim, in Brachos and in Shmos. As far as he is unique and carefully avos, we'll call him Yosef Avinu, or Ke Avinu. That belongs to Sefer Brachos, which is the book of the avos, as the Ramban says. And insofar as he's one of the Banim is concerned, that belongs to Shmos, which is the book of the Banim. The Shar Shvatim only have one dimension. They belong to Banim. They don't belong in Sefer Brachos, and they will not be singled out. Their death will not be singly mentioned and recorded. They will be recorded in connection with the Avos and with Yosef. And their death is only going to be recorded in Sefer Shmos as an introduction to the entire history of all the incidents that begin with the Banim, with the Shibud of Mitzrayim, and onwards, that is clinched by the death of all the Shvatim. But at the end of Sefer Brachos, when we're talking about the book of the Avos, the Torah is going to record the death of Yosef, and only the death of Yosef, meaning not of any other Shvatim, because that is the last event that is related to the Avos. And then the Torah is going to again record the death of Yosef at the beginning of Shmos, because this is the first experience or the first event that takes place in the Darg of Banim. And this is what we have of Beis Yosef Lahava. That's what a Lahava is. On one side, it's holding on to the Gacheles, right? The flame is attached to the coal. And on the other side, from the other perspective, it moves out and spreads. That's what Yosef is. On the one hand, he is connected to Sefer Brachos. His pashtus goes far out. He is that Shalheves who's going to have an impact on the history of Klal Yisrael to protect them through all the generations. Ben Parat Yosef, Ben Parat Alei. Rabosai, we don't have time for Maimer Nun. The interesting thing about Maimer Nun is that it begins with Shir Hashirim and speaks about Klal Yisrael and their unique nature. It's an important Maimer, but I don't think we have time for it today. Hopefully, B'li Neder will have a chance to get back to Maimer Nun in the near future. Thank you very much.